My name's David Hartman. Welcome, Captain Jim Lovell and Captain Gene Cernan. As you, just looking at that tape, Gene, when you looked at that, your blast off from the moon, how weird was it to be counting down to flip the switch, thinking about whether it would actually work or not?
I guess if I didn't believe it would work, I wouldn't have been there. But, you know, we remarked back there looking at that film, did it really happen, you know, or did we dream it? And then the other thing that caught our attention, Jim says, God, Gene, you were young.
And that was built by the lowest bidder, too.
At any time in that experience, were there times when you would say to yourselves, I mean, in your two Gemini missions, your Gemini mission and then your two Apollo missions, could you stop to think for any moment and pinch yourself and say, I'm really up here. This is really me doing this? Or are you just so damn busy all the time, you didn't have time to do something like that?
Two answers. 13 years of my life, it was like I lived a normal life, a naval aviator, and someone plucked 13 years out of that part of my life, went to the moon a couple times, walked in space, over, and then started living a normal life. That's the one thing. And the other thing is what you referred to directly. When you're out there, you know, I didn't live the life Jim lived on Apollo 13, but when you're out there and standing on the surface of the moon, you look up at the Earth, am I really here? Is this really happening to me right now? You know, you can stand, some of you may have been in an Empire State Building, am I really here at this moment, or something's happened in your life? That's the way I felt. You knew it was, that's home, long way away, but you learn to accept it almost normally for those 3 days you're on the moon.
Wow. Jim?
Well, when the explosion occurred, the first thing I said is, why didn't this happen on Apollo 12? or wait till Apollo 14?
Hey, you know, Jim is known for Apollo 13. Tell them about Apollo 8. That may have been the...
We'll get to Apollo 8, but before we do that, let's talk about young people and aviation. Young Eagles is doing a great job of getting young people interested in flying. Jim, Gene, both. When was it when the bulb went on in your lives, perhaps as youngsters, when you thought, airplanes, I want to do something with airplanes? Jim?
Well, it was very early in my life. My uncle was the 58th Naval Aviator. So he graduated from the Academy in 13. In those days, all the real intelligent people went to cruisers and destroyers, and only the guys at the bottom of the totem pole went to aviation. And he really loved it. He flew until he retired in 39. And then when the war started, he again was re-enlisted, I mean, to go back and do some more work. But that got me interested in aviation, and I really liked that. And I wanted to also become a rocket engineer for some reason in high school, like rockets. When I didn't have the money to follow that type of a career, the Navy finally came through and gave me the opportunity to become a naval aviator.
Gene, when did that happen for you? When did that bulb go off?
Well, you heard me say this earlier today, but I've always believed that the real legacy of the Wright brothers is not the fact that we can fly higher, faster, and further than humans have ever flown before, but it's the inspiration, the motivation they inspired in the hearts of all those dreamers, all of us, not just here, all of you, all of us dreamers who followed in their footsteps. I'm a product of World War II. I was a young grammar school kid back in the 40s. And I watched all those unsung heroes who are now icons, the Bob Hoovers of the world, the Joe Fosses of the world, anonymous aviators who made airplanes do the impossible. And I wanted to do that. You know, As a kid, I did like a lot of, made model airplanes and all that kind of stuff. But when I saw these guys land off aircraft carriers, don't ask me why, that's what I wanted to do. I had a dream as a 10-year-old, and never did I realize that that dream would eventually allow me to call the moon my home. And that's where I started. Never gave up the dream, never got in an airplane until I was 22 years old when I went into Navy flight training. And you know, I tell kids, never count yourself out because you never know what fate has in store for you.
Jim, as you started flying, now when did you pick naval aviation? Or did you, it was pretty early when you did that. You knew you were going there.
Well, I was very, very lucky. I applied to get in the Navy to go to Annapolis, and I was third alternate, so I couldn't make that. And then an admiral called Holloway came around. And right after World War II, they had a lot of naval aviators, and they thought that the Navy would retain these naval aviators. A lot of them left, though, after World War II, and pretty soon the Navy found themselves short of naval aviators. So Admiral Holloway started a plan called the Holloway Program, which was probably the best program in the world for a guy who doesn't have any money to go to college. It offered 2 years of college and an engineering degree, and then down to Pensacola to go through flight training, get your wings, then go out to sea as what we call an aviation midshipman, and after 6 months, you become an ensign, and then they send you back to your last 2 years of college for a Navy career. It was a great program, so I applied for that. I got into it. I got down to the academy, or down to Pensacola, started my training through pre-flight before I started flying, and suddenly I got an appointment to the academy. Now, down at Pensacola, the young Marines had just come back from the war. They said, Lovell, you're crazy to go to the academy. You already got 2 years of college. You're already in naval aviation. You're already an aviation midshipman. Wow. Don't go. And then the old captain of the ground school said, look, if you want to make the Navy your career, get your education while you can. I did, and what happened was that in 1950, the Korean War started. My contemporaries who were going through the Holloway program got their wings, went out to sea as aviation midshipmen, the first time midshipmen had been in combat since the Civil War. And then finally when I graduated, I went back into flying. And as a matter of fact, Neil Armstrong was in that same program that I was in. He went out as a midshipman flying in the Korean War, then came back to get his education at Purdue.
What were the first airplanes that you flew? A lot of these airplanes are out here. Maybe all of you have seen all the Navy planes here. What were the first planes you flew, starting at, you know, at Whiting and primary and...
Well,
you know,
when I got into flying, the plane that our primary trainer was called the SNJ. Now, a lot of you saw the SNJs flying around today. They're a great airplane, and it was a retractable airplane. The gear came up, and so I got in that airplane to fly for the very first time. It's kind of interesting in my very first flight because my instructor took me up and he wanted to show me the airfields around there. So we flew around, you know. I had never been flying before. I was just like Gene. This is one of the first times I've been in an airplane. And he showed me this stuff for about a half hour. Then he said, did you see all those fields that we're going to use? And I said, yes. Then he started doing some strange maneuvers, back and forth and doing this and flips and rolls and all. And finally he came back and I got out of the airplane, you know, and I was like this. And he says, well, son, how do you like it? And I said, oh, it's really great.
How long did it take to get over that?
Well, I wasn't about to cough up my cookies or something like that. You know, I was too proud and too embarrassed to do that. But after that time, we started to do some serious training.
Gene, first airplane?
First airplane was a T-34. I took a different, and then a T-28. And I took a different route. Jim went to, he just told you, and ended up at the academy. I went through Naval ROTC at Purdue. And by the way, Purdue claims the first man and the last man to have walked on the moon. I thought I'd slip that in. And I went through Naval ROTC and graduated, 56, I guess. That's before God created water, I think. And went to Pensacola. And, you know, as a kid, I mentioned earlier, I had a dream, but my dad additionally had a dream. He never had a chance to go to college and barely finished high school. His dream was for me to get the education he never got, and my dream was to fly airplanes off aircraft carriers. So in 1956, I left West Lafayette, Indiana, with a set of orders to Pensacola in one hand and a Bachelor of Science degree in engineering in the other. So our dreams didn't conflict at all. And I went from there to Pensacola, from there to the fleet in San Diego, flew, made two cruises, you know, long story made short, made two cruises in A-4s out to the Western Pacific. You know, people say, what's the most challenging thing you've ever done in your life?
Yeah.
When you're coming aboard ship at night and you look over your shoulder and there ain't anybody there, it's just you and your maker. There is nothing compares to a night carrier landing, not even landing on the moon.
Boy.
Yeah.